Behind the Arc, a look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc, hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc, here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome to the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. Thank you so much for checking out Behind the Arc, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 99.1thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app. Thank you for taking the time to listen to Behind the Arc. There's a decent amount to cover. We had an SEC basketball weekend. Tennessee finally played a game again and got a big win over Vanderbilt. Michigan finally took a loss, and now we turn our attention to the rest of the month of January after Vandy week kind of ended with only one game instead of two. And so now Tennessee will move on to Florida on Tuesday night before a big weekend matchup against Missouri. Missouri picked up another win over the weekend. There's a big game coming up Monday night featuring a future Tennessee opponent. We'll talk about all of that here on the Behind the Arc podcast. But Tennessee takes care of business against Vanderbilt on Saturday. I think that was expected at Thompson Bowling Arena. Tennessee went in, I believe, as about an 11.5 point favorite. The Vols won by 20, 81-61 over a Vanderbilt team that is 4-6 on the year. All four wins are against quadrant four opponents, and Tennessee just the better team as Vanderbilt still trying to figure things out in the post Kevin Stallings era, now on its second coach since then with Jerry Stackhouse. Tennessee shot 49% from the field, 33% from behind the arc, and had 33 free throw attempts and 33 rebounds overall as well, out rebounding Vanderbilt by two. So not a lot of offensive boards that you're seeing from Tennessee. Tennessee not giving up a lot of offensive boards. It's also hard to collect offensive rebounds when you're not missing a whole lot of shots. Keon Johnson led Tennessee in scoring with 16 points. Victor Bailey Jr. came off the bench to have 11. John Fulkerson with 15 points and 8 rebounds. Jaden Springer, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Josiah Jordan James with 9 points. So a well-rounded effort from Tennessee's offense and pretty efficient overall. It helps when you have good shot selection and you knock down those inside shots. So continuing to see Tennessee play well against inferior opponents, and it's nice to see Tennessee take care of business. And I know the expectations are different. The roster is significantly different than what it was a year ago. But keep in mind, Tennessee struggled in some games against lesser teams. And you remember that Texas A&M game a year ago coming off the Kansas game where Tennessee played well, was really competitive at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. And Tennessee has to play Texas A&M the following Tuesday. Texas A&M with a first-year coach in Buzz Williams. And the thought is, okay, Tennessee should be able to go in and win this game. Tennessee loses. And Texas A&M ended up being a little bit more scrappy than we all thought they would be at the beginning of the season. But it's nice to see Tennessee avoid problems against the teams that it should be beating. I mean, Tennessee's most competitive games this year have been against Colorado, Cincinnati, Arkansas, and Alabama. And Tennessee will get a test this week. Florida is not a team that should be overlooked, even though they no longer have Keontae Johnson. And Missouri, of course, is going to want some payback for what the Vols did to Missouri in Columbia to start off the SEC schedule at the end of December. So Tennessee now 10-1 on the season. The Vols continue to improve offensively. Again, we're talking about a team that's now ranked in the top 30 in offensive efficiency, according to KenPom. They were outside the top 50 at the beginning of the season. Tennessee now 4-1 in SEC play. They are just one of four teams that are one loss or better. Now, South Carolina's just 1-1 on the year. They've only played two SEC games, so I guess you can technically count them in this scenario. But Alabama's 6-0. LSU is 5-1. Tennessee is 4-1. Mississippi State is 4-2. That is a game that Tennessee has upcoming before the end of this month. So a couple of big games here coming up: Mississippi State, Florida, Missouri, before Tennessee takes on Kansas in the SEC Big 12 Challenge at the end of January. And another game where it hasn't been the usual suspects. Tennessee continuing to show off that versatility, with Jaden Springer only playing 20 minutes, by the way, and still putting up 10, 7, and 5. Also had 3 steals. So an all-around performance. And Tennessee, it appears, has another 5-star player And I think really they have two, but you're seeing this a lot from Jaden Springer. Incredibly efficient on offense, is a really good finisher, has the ability to hit an outside shot, and isn't afraid to go grab rebounds, get steals, dish the ball around, and play defense. And that's a lot like Josiah Jordan James. And we've seen how valuable James is to this Tennessee basketball team, even though you don't see him putting up double figures night in and night out. And you did see Josiah Jordan James have a really nice two-handed dunk, swinging on the rim there. And so for Tennessee, it has four double-digit scorers. It has six players averaging 8 points or more. It does not have anybody averaging 13 points. It's a very well-rounded offense and a team that right now is shooting 46% from the floor overall, 34% from three-point range, which that's not elite, but it's significantly better than where Tennessee was a year ago when it was shooting less than 30%. So Tennessee is a little bit more of a two-dimensional offense. It can go inside out. But it's also, we were talking to Ron Slay during the Slay Ride on Sports 180, which you can hear every morning from 12 to 3 on the Sports Animal, 99.1 FM, 990 AM. The Slay Ride is usually on Tuesdays from 1 to 2 o'clock. And a couple weeks ago, I asked Ron Slay, is this the best team of shot creators that Rick Barnes has had at Tennessee? And he said, without a doubt. And you have more guys that can play iso ball and can take the ball up the floor and create their own shot if they need to. That being said, Tennessee still likes to pile up the assists. They like to get good ball movement. They like to go inside out, and they're averaging 16 assists per game. And through the first few games, we didn't see a whole lot of assists from Tennessee. Those Cincinnati and Colorado games might have explained why the offense slowed down in the second half and why those games ended up being closer than they really needed to be, because Tennessee got off to a really good start in both of those games, and they ended up being really close in the second half. And the reason for that is because you didn't see the ball movement that you're seeing now. Tennessee able to correct those things, utilizing those games against USC Upstate, Appalachian State, St. Joseph's, the games like that, where you take advantage of the fact that you're not playing these big time opponents. It's games where you have the opportunity to get more guys on the floor. But Tennessee also took advantage of that time to execute its offense the way that it wanted to. And when we've talked to Mike Schwartz on Sports 180, who joins us weekly, he had said, look, we like the shots that we're getting. At times, they're just not falling. And that was early in the season. Since then, they've started to fall. Eve Pons, his shot is starting to fall a little bit more. You're seeing Josiah Jordan James, when he needs to, he can go out and score. Jaden Springer, he's not afraid to be selfish with the basketball if he has to. And then, of course, Santiago Vescovi can go out and be a volume shooter also. He had 23 points in a game last week, and he's shooting 41% from behind the arc. Jaden Springer is shooting 56% from three-point range. So that's an area where I think you look at and see, hey, Tennessee's got some guys that can be really good from outside if we need them to be. And it's nice to have those weapons. It's not going to change Tennessee's offensive identity, and I think that's really important. So as the efficiency continues to progress, Tennessee's going to become that much more dangerous in terms of the grand scheme of the college basketball landscape. You're going to get a really good indication of that over the next 2 weeks, because Tennessee, after having that stretch of four games in 9 days back in December where, okay, what's going to happen? How badly are Tennessee going to beat, the Spartans of USC Upstate and St. Joseph's and all these teams? Tennessee will face four teams that all have winning records, are all really solid, and have a lot of talent. Florida, 6-4 is not where you would have expected them to be at this point in the year. I'd say it's about on par if you consider that Keontae Johnson hasn't been around since the Florida State game last month. And Mississippi State, after a slow start, they've gotten it together. They're 9-5 now. I still don't know if they're quite a tournament team, but it's a team that you do have to be careful of, because they have shown that they can put up some points after seemingly looking like a team that was going to really struggle on offense this season. So Florida on Tuesday, Missouri next Saturday, Mississippi State the following Tuesday, and then Kansas on Saturday, January 30th in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. We'll look around the rest of the SEC, some notable results in the rest of the country in college basketball as well. Michigan finally lost a game this year in a revenge match for Minnesota earlier on Saturday. And what does Tennessee have to look forward to? And a big game coming up on Monday night featuring one of Tennessee's upcoming opponents. All of that and more right here on the Behind the Arc podcast. Well, after some COVID issues earlier in the week, it was nice to see all 14 teams in action in the SEC on Saturday. We mentioned Tennessee's 81-61 win over Vanderbilt. Georgia defeated Ole Miss 78-74. Missouri beat Texas A&M 68-52. And in a game that the Tigers started off really slowly and then rallied late to take a 3-point lead at halftime, it was 27-24 at the break. And then Missouri went off from there. Auburn beats Kentucky 66-59. So after Kentucky gets off to a really good start in SEC play, 3-0, had a win over Florida, falls in back-to-back games to Alabama and Auburn after beating Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, and Florida. So now Kentucky has to head to Georgia before it has a pretty tough stretch. It should be able to beat Georgia in Athens. But then these last three games in the month of January, home against LSU, has to go to Alabama, which just beat Kentucky by 20, and then gets Texas in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. So Kentucky in a lot of trouble in just this SEC season getting ugly. Alabama beat Arkansas 90-59. The Crimson Tide now 6-0 in SEC play, still undefeated. They led 42-19 at halftime and put up 48 more points in the second half. John Petty with 17 points to lead Alabama. So think about how well-rounded of an offensive output that is for Alabama. 17 points from John Penny Jr., Jane Shackelford with 16 points, Herb Jones with 13, and then Alabama went really deep into its bench, ended up playing 14 players in this game and put up 90 points against Arkansas. Moses Moody with 28 points to lead the Razorbacks. He's averaging over 17 points a game this season. Mississippi State defeated Florida 72-69. That's a nice win for the Bulldogs. And then LSU topped South Carolina 85-80. Cameron Thomas with 25 points for LSU. The freshman is averaging 22 points per game, one of the top scorers in the country. He has been fantastic for the Tigers this year. Keyshawn Bryant with a monster game for South Carolina. 26 points on 10 of 18 shooting just wasn't enough as South Carolina drops to 3-3 on the season, 1-1 in SEC play. Again, their season has been drastically affected by COVID-19. They've missed a handful of games this season already. So the standings, as it shows, Alabama at 6-0, LSU at 5-1, Tennessee at 4-1, Mississippi State at 4-2, Kentucky at 3-2, Florida at 3-3, South Carolina at 1-1, Missouri at 2-2, Arkansas, Texas A&M, and Auburn are all 2-4, Georgia and Ole Miss are 1-4, Vanderbilt is 0-4. Coming up for the midweek games, Tennessee is at Florida on Tuesday night. You have South Carolina taking on Missouri. Mississippi State welcomes Ole Miss in the basketball version of the Egg Bowl. And then LSU takes on Alabama. And it's been a while since we could say that the basketball matchup between these two teams was more highly anticipated than the football matchup between these two teams. And then on Wednesday, Texas A&M takes on Vanderbilt. Kentucky gets Georgia. Auburn faces Arkansas. So Alabama at 6-0, a really impressive win over an Arkansas team that was looking good going into this matchup, and Alabama just throttled Eric Musselman's team and the Razorbacks, and that's a really impressive win for Alabama. Now you really have to start paying even more attention to what the Crimson Tide are doing. Tennessee's not going to get another shot at them, and I don't think Alabama's going to run the table, but Alabama climbed 11 spots over the weekend to number 18 in the net ranking. So that is a top 20 team that Tennessee lost to. And Colorado, by the way, this is some really good news for Tennessee. Colorado has jumped up four spots to the number seven spot. So that was a win at home for Tennessee, but that now becomes a quad one win for Tennessee. And it has been for a while, but you feel pretty good about it staying a quad one win. Keep in mind, the way the quadrant system works is a team has to be in the top 30 in order for it to be considered a quad one win at home. A top 50 win at a neutral site is considered quadrant one. And I believe it's a top 75 team if you beat them on the road. Cincinnati has kind of fallen off the map here. They're 115 in the net rankings, just 3-7 on the year. So that is not a quad one win for Tennessee. Missouri ranks in the top 25 in the net rankings as of now. So that being a road game was a nice road win for Tennessee. Tennessee beat Arkansas at home, so as of right now, that's a quad two win. Arkansas is ranked 35th in the country. So you kind of just see how whether it's on the road or at home, Florida right now ranks 47th in the net ranking. So Tennessee going to Gainesville on Tuesday, that is a quad one opportunity for Tennessee. And we're not really talking about, you know, whether Tennessee is going to make the tournament or not. I think we all feel very confident with Tennessee being a top 10 team in the AP poll, a top 10 team in the KenPom rankings, and a top 5 team in the net rankings. I think we can all sit here and feel very confident that Tennessee is going to the NCAA tournament, assuming that it doesn't suffer major injuries and suffer really bad losses to bad teams. But these are the sort of resume boosters that make the difference between a 1-2 seed and a 3-4 seed, and then build your confidence as the season goes along. So Tennessee with a pair of quadrant one wins upcoming in the next week, and three in its next four games, as Tennessee will get Kansas at home, and Kansas ranked 19th in the net rankings right now. After that midweek loss over the weekend to Oklahoma State, I'm curious to see if Kansas stays in the top 10 in the AP poll when those rankings come out later on Monday. What's happening outside of the SEC? Tennessee, we know, has a big matchup against Kansas coming up at the end of this month. Kansas with a huge game coming up on Monday night. Michigan took its first loss of the season. Talking about all of that next right here on the Behind the Arc podcast. A couple of Saturdays ago when Tennessee lost to Alabama, I called it a bit of an upset Saturday because Tennessee, Texas Tech, and West Virginia all lost to unranked conference opponents. And those were all good teams that they lost to, but still, you had a bunch of ranked teams losing to unranked teams. And then the following Saturday, you pretty much got chalk for most of the weekend. And then this past Saturday, things reverted back. And fortunately, Tennessee wasn't a victim of it. 21st ranked Ohio State beat Illinois 87-81 in a game that Ohio State really controlled throughout most of that game. They led big in the first half, and then at halftime, Illinois went on a nice run to close the gap. Ohio State answered with a run of its own before Illinois closed the gap again. But Ohio State kind of controlled that game throughout, went to Champaign and beat up on Illinois. Minnesota, 23rd ranked team in the country, crushed Michigan 75-57. This came not long after Minnesota lost to Michigan back on January 6th, 82-57. So a game where a bit of a grudge match for the Golden Gophers. They shut down Michigan and handed the Wolverines their first loss of the season. Marcus Carr with 17 points. And then you had Liam Robbins with 22 points. And he's been really good in the front court for Minnesota this season. Golden Gophers shot 46% from the field, just 39% for Michigan. And Isaiah Livers just going 4 of 11 from the field, 11 points. Hunter Dickinson, the talented freshman center, held to just 9 points in 23 minutes. So Michigan takes its first loss of the year. 8th-ranked Creighton fell in overtime to a 3-win Butler team. They're not a 3-win team anymore. 70-66 in Creighton's defense. It did not have Marcus Zagorowski, who was dealing with a hamstring issue. Still, that's a game you need to win if you're Creighton. Mitch Balick also going 0-5 from behind the arc and just held to 2 points. So in a game where you really needed somebody else to step up, you thought it might have been Balick from outside. He wasn't able to do it. Creighton takes the loss. They'll be knocked out of the top 10 when the AP poll comes out later on Monday. I'm certain of it. And it makes me really question the rest of the Big Ten, or the Big East, excuse me, outside of Villanova. Last week, this was such a competitive conference. And you're seeing teams be competitive within the league. You know, Seton Hall is 6-2. Creighton is still 6-2. UConn is 4-1. They've only played 8 games on the season. They're back in action on Monday against St. John's. But, you know, a team that I thought might have been able to take a step forward was Xavier and Marquette. And Xavier, it kind of quietly going 10-2 on the year, 3-2 in conference play. And maybe that's a bit of the issue. They barely beat Providence, kind of struggled to put away St. John's, beat Oklahoma. But it's just been a different sort of season, I think, for Xavier when you consider how they've struggled at times to put good teams away, and they've kind of flirted with disaster a time or two so far this season. So Marquette was another team that has some big wins. They beat Wisconsin, they've beaten Creighton, but they're 4-4 in conference play. So they've been really inconsistent, just 8-6 overall this season. Then Villanova 8-1, with the only loss being to Texas, and then 3-0 on the season, or excuse me, the loss being to Virginia Tech. They have a win over Texas, but they just had three games postponed. They're supposed to be back in action on Tuesday against Seton Hall, and it would have been a nice stretch here for them. Their last five games have been postponed after Jay Wright tested positive, and they had more positive tests. So their games against Xavier, DePaul, Marquette, Xavier again, and then UConn have all been postponed. So Villanova's got a lot of work to do to make up some of that schedule. But after Villanova, I don't know if there's really a deep competitive team in this league this season. And Creighton obviously can get better if it gets Marcus Zegarowski back and fully healthy, but he's been dealing with some leg issues. Remember, he had the knee injury at the end of last season, the hamstring injury that he's dealing with this year. So if Zegarowski's not 100%, Creighton becomes not nearly as good of a team as they could potentially be. Baylor beat Texas Tech 68-60, so Texas Tech unable to pull off a really nice sweep of the Texas schools on the weekend. They beat Texas earlier in the week, couldn't do it against Baylor. Virginia going up against the number one defense in college basketball in Clemson on the road. They win by 35. They win 85-50. So a really impressive performance from Virginia, a team that we kind of stopped talking about. And here's the thing. I did not think Virginia should have been ranked in the top five to start the season. I thought they were maybe a top 10, top 12 team. And right now they're ranked 18th in the AP poll. That's probably going to change. But I thought what Virginia did, it shot 60% from the floor. It shot 55% from three-point range against the number one defense in the country, according to the KenPom rankings entering the weekend. It was the 12th ranked team in the country. Clemson was 9-1 going into that game. Virginia is now 9-2. A really impressive performance by the Cavaliers, our most recent national champion. Gonzaga handled St. Mary's 73-59. And then 16th ranked Louisville fell to Miami 78-72. Louisville with a big game coming up on Monday against Florida State. And then Texas beat Kansas State 82-67. On Sunday, Iowa completed a regular season sweep of Northwestern 96-73. Houston got back in action with a 75-58 win over UCF. Virginia Tech edged Wake Forest 64-60. Monday night's action. You've got three really compelling games with teams that are coming out of the weekend ranked in the top 25. We'll see what the updated rankings hold, but 25th ranked UConn is hosting St. John's at 2:30 in the afternoon. Louisville trying to bounce back from that loss to Miami against Florida State, as I mentioned earlier. And then a marquee matchup, Kansas visits Baylor. So Baylor's 12-0. That game is at 9 o'clock. Can the Bears continue to improve, continue to win, and move on to 13-0? Kansas is trying to rebound from that midweek loss to Oklahoma State. They barely beat Oklahoma the weekend before and lost to Texas at the beginning of this month. So Kansas at times has not looked like a top 10 team. Other times they've looked really solid. And I think, though, when you consider the win over Texas Tech, the win over Creighton, they've got some really good wins. They beat West Virginia back in December. So some really good wins for Bill Self's team. This is going to be their toughest test of the season thus far since playing against Gonzaga, and it's going to be tough for Kansas to pull this off on the road. Baylor has been incredibly efficient. Jared Butler averaging 15.5 points per game, shooting 47% from the field. So Kansas getting a really tough test in a team that is solid both offensively and defensively. Baylor now with the number one defense in the country, according to KenPom. Tennessee is at number two, and Baylor is also ranked fourth in offensive efficiency. And by comparison there, Kansas is 15th in the KenPom rankings, 23rd in offense, 10th in defense. Again, that game at 9 o'clock on Monday night. I appreciate you checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. Remember, you can hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star rating and review, and tell a college basketball fan you know about the Behind the Arc podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Joel Silverberg for more updates about the podcast, and follow at Sports Radio WNML to follow everything else that we're doing at 99.1 The Sports Animal. Appreciate you tuning in. We'll catch you next time. Tennessee taking on Florida in Gainesville on Tuesday. We'll have a podcast episode for you afterwards to recap Tennessee's game against Florida, look at what else is happening in the SEC, and keep you posted on the rest of the college basketball landscape right here on the Behind the Arc podcast.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on The Sports Animal.